Hi, and welcome to Mary and Andy Geek Out. I'm Mary, he's Andy, and I stole the tagline for myself.
Yes.
Do you want to do another go at that?
No, you're good. We're good. This is fine. I always like this intro. We got to change it up every time.
Today we're only doing two episodes, and that is because our season finale is a three-parter, which kind of messed with how we were splitting things up.
Yeah, so I was kind of looking over the schedule, and I was like, yeah, the finale is three-parter, and usually when we do our review of the episodes of Teen Titans, we try to cram four episodes in to each of our podcast episodes, and then we usually rush through it because of which. And because it's something like a three-part finale, we figured, you know what, let's do something a little bit different. So what we're going to do is that we're going to cover just episodes 7 and 8.
Of season 4.
Of season 4. And then the following week, August 23rd, will be episodes 9 and 10. And then we'll be back to our usual two-week break, and then on September 6th will be episodes 11, 12, and 13. So this is going to be something new we're going to try out. We're going to see how we feel about this. Might be something that we do for season 5, because that also
It might lead to a shorter episode, or it might mean we obsess over more small details.
Yeah, and season 5 is different, too. It has a very interesting way the episodes are arranged. So we might do something similar if we like this. But anyway.
Episode 7.
Yep.
Is The Prophecy, which is a direct continuation of Birthright, which is really driving home, hey guys, this is serious, and Raven said.
Mm-hmm. And then
the world's going to end.
Yes, world's going to end. We get to see our mom, too, which is pretty cool. Cool gal. And then episode 8 is Stranded, where the Titans fight a mysterious creature, and through space mishaps, they get separated and they land on the planet and they have to find each other back again with some potential relationship issues between Starfire and Robin.
Wee.
Yeah. So these two episodes, it's funny because
The Prophecy is very, very hardcore serious.
Mm-hmm.
Stranded isn't the silliest, but it did get the silly intro,
I was confused by that.
Yeah, it seems like a straightforward episode, but maybe it's because it came after The Prophecy that they felt like, I guess this is silly.
Yeah, I don't think it's honestly warranted. I think it's just as standard as a lot of their other, quote-unquote, regular episodes. I don't know. Go figure. But we have The Prophecy, and it's kind of hard. I kind of, when I was thinking about how the plot of this episode went, I kind of have a hard time trying to summarize it. Because it kind of...
It feels like it's kind of rehashing Birthmark in a lot of ways.
Pretty much, right. Basically,
Slade's creepy. Mm-hmm. Raven's distressed by her destiny. The Titans are there for her.
Yeah. I actually put this episode on again in the background today when I was doing other things just to be like, okay, what actually happened here? But as basically they're trying to find Slade. And they're trying to understand the symbol on his forehead. And they're looking up all sorts of libraries and texts.
And of course, Raven finds it immediately, gets scared of what it means, and hides it from everyone.
Yeah.
But also, I thought Birthright had established that it meant end of the world. Like, did they not establish that in that episode?
I guess not. I don't know. I guess she only just hid it from them, that they didn't know it was going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
This episode, honestly, I find a little bit confusing because it's basically 90%, yes, this is what we already know, and then 10% new material. So I feel like it could have
been
done a
little bit differently. Maybe they didn't want people to forget what was going on by the time the season finale came around.
I guess. I feel like they could have done it a little bit differently.
Anyway, Slade's back more hunched over, I think, than when he appeared last.
Yeah, he definitely has kind of
might
like
be decaying a little.
Yeah.
It opens reminding us of the episode of Birthright. It's a scene taken directly from it, and then it's revealed that Robin's obsessively rewatching it. So yeah. Robin's back to obsessing, for one thing. But two, what was that footage from? Was that, like, the security camera in the abandoned factory?
Yeah, that's right.
That got a nice, clear shot of Slade.
There's a joke somewhere, and I don't know where. It's probably from Mystery Science Theater, if I were to guess. But it's something like, oh, I see that you stitched together all the security footage and made it look exactly like how we saw it before. Which is always,
cinematically convenient.
Yes. Cinematically convenient. Yeah, exactly. So they go to find Slade. He's in an abandoned part of town. And basically, they're blowing up stuff. Things are on fire. And Slade is basically really playing it up here. He's basically...
He's just sort of pushing the Titans aside to set things on fire.
Yeah, and Starfire is like, oh my gosh, because Slade has lit enough things on fire to create the huge S-like symbol
over the city. Oh, what did they call it? Mark of Sketh or Skath?
Skath. Mark of Skath.
Yes.
The Mark of Skath, and so...
Which it turns out is a euphemism for just Mark of Trock.
Trigon.
Yeah. Not Trock.
I know, I got that confused too, because they're... Yeah. So they get the symbol, and they eventually track him down to, like, a library, an abandoned library, which to me was kind of, I don't know, I find that a little bit depressing.
Yeah, it was the town's original library in a condemned part of the city, and for some reason they left all the books in it.
I know, right? I was like, surely this is the oldest library.
Must have been, like, even before this started happening, maybe it was just super haunted, and they're like, nope!
Like, there's too many ghosts here.
Yes, they implied it was condemned because it was falling apart, which, again, sad.
Yeah, and so...
Wayne Industries could put some money into that, but whatever.
Wayne Industries could put money into a lot of things.
They put money into space travel, apparently.
That's true. And so they track him down to the library.
Yeah, the whole time Raven's, like, prophecy... tattoos keep acting up and activating things, so they keep getting closer and closer to the truth.
Yeah.
That Raven already knows because she looked it up in a book and didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, okay, Birthright, she was given a vision of the destroyed world, of her friends turned to stone, of everything on fire, of demon ravens, and then she looks it up and is surprised about something?
Yeah, I guess. Like, she finds out it's, like, Mark of... I don't know. I think she's like, that's it. I'm done with this world. So she basically...
Like, maybe she was in denial after Birthright, which, you know, fair.
I guess. Again, that's why I find this episode confusing, because I feel like we already know this. Like, yes.
So Raven freaks out and leaves the team behind, and they decide to press onward in the crypt beneath the library.
Because they're looking for the gem. Gem of Skath. Because that's the gem is what's supposedly...
Yeah, some ghosts come and do a prophecy at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the Gem of Skath that basically summons him here. And so they're looking for the gem, which is supposedly in the library in the first place. And they're hoping to destroy the gem.
And they fight some ghosts.
Yeah.
And they like their designs. They're like weird beaky monsters.
This was honestly...
Which you can punch, it turns out.
Yeah, this was honestly funny. This was like... one of the highlights of the episode, I thought, was their battle against the ghost, because it's in a really creepy spiral tower.
Yeah, it looks like it actually might go down forever, because they have to stop, like, midway on the staircase to continue.
Yeah.
It probably goes to hell.
Yeah. And the ghosts are also, they're kind of cheaters, if you will, because they couldn't hurt the ghost, but the ghost could hurt them.
No, they could hurt the ghosts.
Oh, like, they could hurt the ghosts?
They could definitely slow them down by, like, throwing bombs at them and stuff.
Oh, I thought they couldn't punch them. Maybe they just couldn't punch them, but maybe, like, energy beams
and
blasts.
They could slow them down, poof them, and then they go through the walls.
Yeah, because while they're fighting, one of the walls lights up with the Mark of Skath symbol.
It doesn't light up. Robin notices after he jumps off the staircase.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He falls down, he sees the symbol, Robin grapples onto the staircase, and they go through the tunnel to go deeper into the catacombs to try to find the gem.
Catacombs implies that the dead are buried there.
Oh, that's true. I guess just the
crypt. Wait, no, crypt also implies temple. Dead. Why are all the spooky underground places to deal with dead? Other than, aquifers or something.
Oh, yeah, aquifers, yeah. Like the, this is totally side tangent, but like the
cisterns,
one in...
Cisterns, that's what I'm talking about. Not an aquifer, a cistern.
But what was the one in Istanbul?
It was a cistern.
Yeah, because that was like super creepy, like seeing that.
Yeah, one time they had an art exhibit there, and it was like projections of like looping things like eyes. It was so great.
Nice, yeah. That was really cool. Anyway, so they're pressing onwards. they're trying to find the gem. And while this is happening, Raven goes...
tries to escape from Earth to try to keep the prophecy from happening.
Yeah.
She goes back to Azeroth.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, Azeroth, my homeworld, to make sure everyone knows what this is, what this place is. And it looks fine. It looks rather peaceful.
It's boring.
There's nobody there.
There's nobody there. There's some nice fantasy sci-fi buildings, I guess.
There's doves.
There's doves.
And then she's walking around, and then she sees a woman, also in robes.
In a white cape.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Robin, I mean Ravens, but white.
Yeah. And so she follows her, and it turns out it's her mom. And Raven's like, I don't want to do this, Mom. He can't make me. I don't want to do this. And her mom basically tells her, like, you don't have a choice. I'm really sorry about this.
We tried. We wanted to give you a happy childhood, but you are going to bring evil into the world. Sorry.
And then the whole
thing... she mentions it's too late for Azeroth. And yeah. Then the whole thing.
Yeah, then the whole thing begins to disintegrate and turn into the whole fire and brimstone kind of ordeal.
And I believe we hear Trigon laughing.
Yes. So Trigon, I guess now's the time, if ever, to talk about him. But, I'm trying to think where I should start with him. Because we first see him in season one as a vision.
Oh, yeah, in her brain.
Yeah, and he was her manifestation of her rage.
Yes, and also probably her fear of the whole side of her.
Yes. No word of him at all for, like, the next two seasons. And then, now he's come back. He's voiced by a different actor. He's voiced by...
Kevin Michael Richardson.
And it's the same voice actor who does a lot... He gets around. He does a lot of things. And the first thing I thought of when I heard his voice was the possessed lumberjack from Gravity Falls. When he takes...
Very deep, often distorted a little, but still, like, I think naturally very deep.
It is such a good voice, and it's a great voice for that kind of, like, intimidating, almost otherworldly kind of heft to it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear him voice just a straight-up main character good guy sometime. That'd be neat.
Yeah. So it's basically revealed that Slade is working for Trigon, for Raven's dad... And
he's kind of enjoying himself. I still think it's because he's still just happy to not be in hell.
Yeah. Oh, Slade?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought about Trigon. I was like, what? What are you talking about? But yeah, Slade, yeah.
Hey, Trigon keeps laughing, but I don't care if he's enjoying himself. He's a dink.
Yeah, Slade dropped the line of something like, it's nice to work for someone else for a change.
Which
ties back to his mercenary roots in the comics, which is kind of funny to me.
Yes.
So, Raven basically accepts that her dad's coming.
Yeah.
And she's the portal to her dad.
I mean, she's still going to fight it.
Right.
So, she comes and saves the Titans from being killed. This is an excellent scene, probably the whole point of the episode, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Slade is seriously about to kill all the Titans.
Yeah.
Raven is like, no. And she puts herself physically between Slade and the Titans because she realizes he can't kill her.
Right.
He is not allowed to kill her.
Yeah. And I think when she realizes that Slade is like basically a reanimated corpse or I don't know about reanimated corpse, but like a... like a demon, I guess, of some kind, then she can go all out against him.
I had not interpreted it that way. I just thought she had some issues to work out, and he was handy.
I think that is also
anyway,
true.
He tries to, like, phase through the floor, get out of there. Raven grabs him out of the ground.
It is the best scene in the entire episode.
And proceeds to give him a major beat down.
It is so fantastic. It's always so smarmy, it's always so frustrating when the villain's like, ta-ta, and they, like, phase through walls or the floor or whatever.
Throw a smoke bomb.
And they're gone, and they're like, well, that's it, I guess we can't capture them. And I thought the exact same thing when Slade's like, well, I'm best be getting out of here, and he faces through the floor, and Raven's like, nope, I'm not done with you yet, and just pulls him back out, and he looks shocked, too.
Yeah.
Like, his like, all this time, he's been pretty, like...
Untouchable.
Yeah, calm.
Unflappable.
And, yeah.
Except for that part a little before that, when Raven threw a, like... rock at him.
A huge boulder at him. That was a great scene, too.
We freeze-framed that one.
Yeah, like the before and after was so satisfying.
Standing, whacked in the... just whacked with a boulder.
And so she just basically goes to town on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about this scene as well is the facial expressions of all the Titans in the background, especially Robin's. Because Robin has, like, these huge eyes.
Huge white eyes.
Like, oh my god, what the hell? When... Raven's giving the beat down to Slade. Super
also,
satisfying.
I think when she's kind of, I guess, worked it out of her system, Slade gets up and you can hear all his bones cracking back into place.
Oh, that was also good. I like, when you hear that, you're like, ooh, but it's always such a good effect to
and
do.
And he pretends like it's a victory somehow because, you know, she was scary and that's bad.
Yeah, like, no.
But I don't think the Titans actually cared that much.
No, yeah.
They were probably surprised, but I don't think they were... scared of her.
Not at all. I think Slade very heavily misjudged the situation.
Yes.
Misjudged the
Well, he might have also been feeding on her insecurity, of which there is a lot.
Yeah. He basically said something like, now your friends are afraid of you, and totally not like that at all. Not implied or...
And they, you know, all reaffirmed that they'd support her, I think. I might be...
Pretty much, yeah.
Because I didn't write about the scene after that, because at that point, who cares?
Yeah, it ends...
Oh! One thing I want to talk about. Yeah, it ends with Raven coming clean, I guess.
Yeah.
She says that it's the mark of Trigon, and apparently everyone knows who that is, even across the galaxy. So that's fun.
Yeah, I guess he's like the devil in this case, or some sort of like, interdimension devil.
Yep. I mean, I guess this isn't theology, this is reality, so I guess why wouldn't everybody hear about a giant extra-dimensional evil, but it's still weird.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. The episode also ends with them looking out at, like, the morning sunrise out the window, and I only bring this up because, well, we've seen that, like, millions of times in the Titans episode endings, but what's funny about it is that they're all looking out at it, and Beast Boy has his arm around Raven's shoulder. And I just find that funny.
But he's taking advantage of the situation.
It is like, it's okay, we're here for you.
It was just a like storyboarder that was like, this is my ship, going to just scoot that in there.
Yeah, like, we gotta put every Raven Beast Boy that we possibly can. But yeah, like, I hope if it sounds like we're a bit all over the place or a bit unsure, like, it's because the episode is a bit, there's really not much that goes into it. Like, I honestly thought she meets her mom in the finale.
Oh, no, I remembered her. The only thing I remembered from this was her meeting her mom and then finding out everyone was dead and destroyed.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't remember the beatdown. The beatdown's great.
Oh, yeah, the beatdown is fantastic, that's for sure. But it really just offers itself as, like, a segue to the finale.
Just remembered an earlier scene, so like we said, it starts with them trying to figure out the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one scene where Starfire recognizes the symbol, and it turns out it was just like a stain changed it. But
anyway,
what I thought was funny was that they just had this humongous printout of the symbol.
Yeah, exactly, and they're trying to understand everything about it. Good times.
Good times.
Good job!
Sweet.
Nice. Great work, Starfire.
I could not have done it without your assistance.
Nice arm.
I, too, admire your abundant limb strength.
Let's go. Unless you want to stay here goofing around with your girlfriend.
She's not my girlfriend!
I am not your friend?
Okay, episode 8, Stranded. This, I totally forgot, I guess I remembered this episode, but This episode is really, it's the...
I will tell you, this is one I distinctly remember watching with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we found the scenes with Cyborg and Beast Boy trying to fix the ship so funny. And my sister made a mix CD for me called the Eyeball Pizza Thingy. And she drew little eyes on it.
Oh, with the mechanical part, yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those... experimental. I don't know if it's an experimental episode.
Yeah,
I guess
it's just different.
It's one of those different episodes that it's like one of those where the writers take the main characters and they go, okay, now what would happen if we just push them all away from each other?
Oh, I figure I assume that it started with, okay, we want Robin and Starfire to actually talk about their relationship, because it's annoying to have this as a will they won't they, because it's not really that kind of show.
Yeah.
So somebody was like, I just want them to have a frank discussion about it. How do we get the other Titans out of the way?
Yeah. That's basically the main thing of this episode, is Robin and Starfire trying to deal with each other's feelings.
Being bad at talking because they're teenagers.
Yeah. And also Robin learns from the best, which is Batman.
Who's bad at talking his feelings.
Yes. So the episode starts off with them going to a communication space station.
By the way, I don't think we've discussed it, but the Teen Titans vehicle, the spaceship / submarine, the orange thing, is so ugly. Like, it's just a big chunk of orange plastic, and like it's also so blatantly like designed to be a toy.
Yeah, with it separating and
yeah.
All that.
So, you know, it's like you get each figure with their part of the T-sub / spaceship. But anyway, it's just not nice to look at.
No, it's not. It doesn't have the cool electric blue style of Cyborg's machines.
Yeah, Cyborg's car is sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
If he'd put a bit of his style, then it wouldn't be Titans-y, it'd be Cyborg-y. Yeah. But why orange?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Robin's motorcycle is nice.
Beast Boy has a moped.
Yes, which I swear comes back, but it hasn't yet.
Maybe we'll in season 5.
Maybe.
So anyway, they go to a communication space station.
Yes,
they received a stressed call, or...
We don't actually know what sent them there.
Hmm.
It seems like if it was a distress signal, that crew is dead. We do not see a single person there in the wreckage.
Yeah,
it's a satellite space station of some kind.
Yeah, it's just weird because they didn't seem concerned that nobody's on board.
Yes, and I think maybe they just cut that because, well, one, that'd be extra character bottles, but also... Yeah.
But if there's not supposed to be anybody on board, then why design it like...
Yeah, it's very roomy, it's got big windows, it's got the communication center.
Yeah.
Also, what was this thing for? They might have mentioned. I don't know.
Satellite? That's what the only thing said was.
I guess, who sent them? Because usually they're only dealing with problems in their city.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, called specifically to help out. And in this case, I don't think they were. I think I think this must have been a Wayne Industries job, honestly.
Yeah, this is a bit out of their jurisdiction, in all honesty.
Not that it matters. This is a silly episode, but it's just, anytime something like this happens, that raises questions about, like, the details of, like, what's funding this organization, what's telling them what to do, what's making sure that Child Protective Services don't get involved.
Yeah, they just have free rein to do whatever they want.
Anyway, so, they go on a spaceship. Robin holds his flashlight weird.
I didn't notice that.
He's holding, Starfire's holding it out, like, normal. Like, you know, thumb on top.
Yeah.
Fingers on the bottom. Robin's holding it like he's looking into, like, he's holding it between, like, his thumb and two fingers, like, sort of forward.
Hmm.
Which is good if, like, you're aiming at a little space.
Yeah.
But not if you're going through a big dark space station.
Yeah, that's just true. Good point.
I don't...
This is also the scene where Cyborg... They
establish Cyborg doing technobabble in this one.
Yeah, because that's going to come back repeatedly throughout the episode.
And And Beast Boy not understanding.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, oh,
did not need a setup, but they set it up.
Yeah, exactly. I think if Cyborg... I feel like... So I guess for our audience sake, the Cyborg and Beast Boy's plot basically involves them trying to smash the ship back together again so it could get off the planet.
Fix Cyborg, then fix the ship.
Yes. Yeah, and so Cyborg repeatedly says, put this blah, 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 blah with this blah, 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 blah. And Beast Boy is like, I have no idea what you're saying. And that's basically the joke throughout the entire episode.
This is what pushes it, I guess, into a silly episode.
I guess.
Because Robin and Starfire's things played pretty straight.
It is.
And Raven is, I think, just because the poor girl needed a break after Prophecy.
Yeah. But I felt like they could have toned down. I don't know.
Tone down which?
The Cyborg's techno speak a little bit, like really force that in there. Like that intro scene. I don't know.
Yeah, Cyborg doesn't usually talk like that.
Yeah, it feels a bit off, in all honesty. So they go there, and they find out that the station is destroyed by, I had to look this up, it's a monster called the Shrieker. And it looks like a Ben 10 alien. And basically, it just... super tenacious, and it just screams at everybody.
Its flesh is unpierceable, and it yells.
Yeah, and it just screams at
everybody. Presumably it killed an entire space station crew.
Maybe. So they fight it, and they fight this thing a lot throughout the episode. This thing does not die. And anyway, there's a cool scene I want to highlight, which is, it's like a Cyborg Raven tag fight, where...
Yeah, they got some good combos in this episode.
Where... I think the monster throws Cyborg. Raven, like, swoops up, and her big black cloak is billowing, and then
She teleports Cyborg out of harm's way.
Yeah.
And then comes up and throws him out.
Yeah, she basically portals Cyborg. She swoops him into her dark void, and then pops him back out, right back out to the monster. Really awesome.
How many Titans you think have been in Raven's void?
What? What'd you say?
How many Titans do you think have been in Raven's void?
Well, just those two for now. Cyborg and Beast Boy. Well, that was the mirror. Anyway, so that was really cool. I really liked that. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, by season 4, they got to start coming up with some cool combos, you know?
Yes.
Cool ways. And using Raven's awesome dark magic is pretty sweet.
Most action shows don't have to. Teen Titans had a budget, and I think they might have had storyboarders that were getting bored doing straightforward fighting, too, probably.
Yeah, this is, like, we've been noticing that Beast Boy that has been doing some more, has been more, I guess, fluid or more different with his transformations lately, like...
More creative.
Like, in this one, I think he immediately transformed from an Ankylosaur to a Triceratops, and then it was kind of like a boom, boom, 1-2 combo, and it was really nicely done.
I still like the thing where just Cyborg threw him as a small animal and then he turns into a bigger animal.
Yeah.
They should do that more often.
Fastball special.
Yay.
And so they supposedly defeat the Shrieker by throwing him into the station's core.
There's a cute Robin and Starfire teamwork where like they both jump into a hole together to like make sure the creature gets down there, and then Starfire carries him out and it's all pink and glowy.
Yeah. And it's all super nice, and the Shrieker seems to be dead, and the other Titans are like,
Cyborg.
Oh, you. And then Cyborg goes, what do you say, something about girlfriend?
Or would you like to spend some more time with your girlfriend or something?
And then Robin goes,
She's not my girlfriend. He takes a few moments, like, he blushes, he, like, freaks out a little, then yells, she's not my girlfriend.
And then Starfire is super confused.
And offended.
She's like, I'm a girl.
I am not your friend?
But I'm not your friend?
No. She's like, I am not your friend? I am not a girl?
Yes. It's done very well. And Robin is just like head into ass mode right here.
And Cyborg and Beast Boy are looking very smug, and Raven's looking very Raven.
Yeah. She's like, I don't care. So they basically get back onto their ship. The monster attacks them.
I think the ship gets blown up?
Yeah, the
space station gets blown up.
Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah, wow, I totally blocked that scene out.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, I guess they get on the ship regardless.
Stuff happens. It's explodey, and the monster ends up on the ship.
On their personal on their ship, I should say. And so then there's a confusion.
Oh.
The Titans separate their ships together, and that's how they crash land on the planet. What's up?
I have a quote here from, like, before Robin gets self-conscious about it. He gives Starfire, like, a playful punch because of their good job. They did, and she punches him back, but much harder because she has super strength.
Good touch.
And he's like, wow, you hit hard, or you have a strong arm. And she's like, I admire your abundant limb strength, too.
Your noodly strength. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Starfire is really feeling it then, which is probably why the she's not my girlfriend thing hit her so hard.
Mm-hmm. So they crash land on the planet. And initially, all five of them are separate, but Beast Boy and Cyborg quickly find each other, and Robin and Starfire quickly find each other. And so they're trying to find the rest of the five.
Raven finds adorable alien dudes.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about that now.
Yeah. Raven has a very simple C-plot.
Yeah. It's pretty much what that is, yeah.
Yeah, where there's some tiny aliens. They like to repeat words she said, followed by, Shala! And they just like her.
Yeah, and she's... And there's like, I don't want to hurt you. And she's like blushing because I think she just finds them all super cute and adorable.
My interpretation was she was embarrassed for threatening them at all.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not.
And eventually they're, like, feeding her and giving her back massages.
Yeah, the very last scene of the episode is her getting, yeah, just having a nice time. And I was thinking, what if she stayed here? What would happen to the prophecy?
Right?
Would Slade have to go into space and get her?
Yeah. I know that, like, so on the whole thing about Raven in this C-plot made me think that Beast Boy is regularly treated as the punching bag of the show.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. But I feel like Raven also gets a little bit of that as well for being the super straight one of the group. And I think, like, the writers like to frequently throw into, like, weird, sticky, goopy, just whatever situations.
Undignified,
thank you. And I think this is... It's kind of nice for once to see something happen in an episode that wasn't about Raven that was nice for her, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty good. I was like, especially this, considering this is her season and all that, like, this was like, alright, I enjoy seeing Raven just, like, relaxing for, like, what has possibly been a very long time since she relaxed.
Yes. Okay. So we talked briefly about... We talked briefly about Beast Boy and Cyborg. I want to talk about the central plot, I guess.
Yeah.
So the monster comes back, interrupting Robin's awkwardness, I guess.
Yeah.
While Starfire is like, no, tell me what you mean. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, she's really pushing him on that.
She's not letting him go. She will not tolerate anything resembling a friend zone.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
But anyway, while they're right, Starfire's still pushing it, and he yells, just give me space! Which is hilarious, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he's just like a storm of emotions right now, apparently.
Yeah, I know. It's really funny seeing him like this. Especially the way that he acted when she got, like,
was
forcefully
almost married,
engaged.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think he'd be a bit more, like, forward about it, or maybe she should have brought something up like that.
I think the cultural gap also confuses things. I think Starfire just assumed after all that they were a couple.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize it.
Yeah, Robin initially thinks Starfire has no idea
what girlfriend means.
Yeah. And she goes, no, and she just basically gives him, like, a textbook definition of a girlfriend. Or being in a relationship, I should say. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much it. And this
Which also included the giving of floral arrangements or something like that.
I like that. That was cute. Which is part of the conflict of this episode, because the Shrieker comes back. And there's this very, I found a very funny moment where the Shrieker basically tackles Robin. and they basically go down a cliff, and they basically hit every... They're basically bouncing back and forth like a pinball, like going boom, 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 boom. And it reminded me of the Simpsons scene, Bart the Daredevil, where Homer comes crashing down the cliff. And I just found it so funny, like, how much they're bouncing. And it's basically confirmed that this is a world of low gravity. Robin continuously, like, jumps really high and far. But I just found that scene very funny where he just keeps falling down the cliff. It's very nice to see Robin get that kind of pain. Yes. And through the confusion as well, Starfire can no longer fly, which is like a big plot point
because
as
was strongly established back in, what was it, Switched?
Yes.
She needs, like, her emotions to use her powers, and... Mm-hmm. Apparently, her confusion about how Robin felt about her really just destroyed all of that.
Yeah, so she could no longer fly. I don't think she's probably...
Also, probably the first time that this ends up being like, oh, women and their emotions. Like, so this is why a woman can't be in power, because one day she goes boy crazy, and the next thing you know, she's lost her super strength.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I mean, obviously, I enjoy it. I like emotion-based powers, but...
Yes. Basically, they hash out their emotions.
Also,
yeah?
So, Righteous Fury powers the energy blasts.
Mm-hmm.
Joy... powers flight.
That makes sense.
What does her super strength? I had assumed that that was just, you know, her physical self, but... I think she is physical self. No, she used a bow and arrow, maybe because she needed a ranged weapon, but I didn't see her really punching anything.
Hmm.
So I wonder.
Love. Righteous.
Righteous love.
Righteous love.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, and so basically they kind of hash out their feelings and they talk about it, and without outright stating it either, which bothers me.
Yes. He tells her how cool she is and why he admires her.
Right. It's the whole saying how great the other person is without...
And how he'll always be there for her.
Yeah.
And they hold hands. And they don't kiss until the movie.
Well, technically, they kissed in the prequel, which we have yet to
see.
Wait,
yeah, come to think of it, culturally, kisses do mean something different to Starfire.
Yeah,
so she doesn't know that Robin's whole... Yeah, she watches TV, but
she
mostly
watches...
She
should understand this by now.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to that episode and talking...
The movie?
No, the prequel episode, one where they all get together.
Yes.
Because I think that's going to be great. I'm honestly tempted to do a whole podcast episode dedicated to that one episode alone, because there's just so much to... I don't know. I just remember liking that one a lot.
Okay.
So, I also find it funny, I guess, this episode in general, because this season, we're seeing some heavy Robin and Raven bonding moments here.
Yes. Which might have been the reason they wanted to bring Starfire and Robin back more hardcore than usual.
Yeah, like really kind of bring it to the forefront.
Yes.
Because I was seeing a lot of, like, growing up fan fiction with Robin and Raven. And at the time I was like a huge, I guess still am, Raven and Beast Boy fan. And I'm like, no, this is not true. Can't be possible. But this episode, I think, strongly hones in, like, yes, Robin and Raven are really close, but this is the one true pairing right here.
I was thinking there's kind of a parallel with Raven and Robin in that they probably both repress their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Robin does it to make himself seem stronger, whereas Raven does it because...
She doesn't want to kill people.
Yes. Raven has better motives for that. Robin has a bad role model for... When it comes to open emotional communication.
Hey, learn
emotional
from
the best. Honesty. That's why you stay with Alfred.
Yes. So those are our two episodes. I think we'll skip the usual best, worst for the three.
Yeah, it's not fair to compare these two anyway.
Yeah, they're different from each other. I don't know. I feel like these two episodes were like... I also think we hit like some okay episodes here. What do you think? Like...
I had a lot of nostalgia for Stranded.
Oh, okay.
And the prophecy just, again, seemed pretty repetitive up until Raven kicks Slade's ass.
Yes, I agree.
Very thoroughly.
Which was very satisfying to watch. Yeah, so, all right episodes overall. Next two episodes, one of them is going to have Mother May I.
Oh, which Andy found out something interesting looking at the rankings of all the episodes.
Yeah, I looked on IMDb because I was curious. The Mother May I is ranked as the worst episode according to IMDb. It's like a 6.7 rating, which I honestly don't remember it being bad. I just remember it being like incredibly ridiculous.
My hypothesis is that it's because it came so close to Prophecy, where everybody's getting pumped up for this big story arc.
It's right before Prophecy. It's the episode preceding it. So,
you know, big end of the world stuff, and it's like, what the hell is with pies?
Yeah. I feel like they did this again, too, in season two with Larry, which was also ranked one of the worst episodes as well. Yes.
Although. Mm-hmm. The second worst was Every Dog Has Its Day, right?
Every Dog Has Its Day.
We agree with that one.
Yeah, we definitely agree with that one. Yeah, actually, now that I'm looking back, let's see. So, Bunny Raven was season three.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. I like that one a lot.
Wait, you mean that was before the finale?
That was before the finale for season three.
Huh.
And then the one for season one. Oh, the one where Cyborg builds his car.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I guess. That's interesting.
Not the silliest, but definitely not a high-stakes episode.
I guess so. Anyway.
And the last time Cyborg and Raven really interacted meaningfully.
Yeah, I know. They need to bring that back again. Except for Cyborg the Barbarian.
It was
very
nice,
briefly.
But yeah.
Anyway, so I think that concludes it for this episode. Feels kind of weird. I guess we're so used to doing the three-episode format. But we're going to do this again next time and see how we feel there. I hope you...
Hey, let's start shipping villains that never interact.
Like Mad Mod and Mumbo Jumbo?
Yes.
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 So like I said at the beginning of the episode, we're going to do just a one-week break this time and do the next two episodes.
Billy Numerous and Billy Numerous.
Oh my gosh. And then we'll do the usual two-week break and then do the finale. If you like this episode, let us know. I know shorter episodes usually do better for people, so if you prefer shorter formats, let us know. Always appreciate your interest and your support. So thanks for listening as usual.
Yeah, and we have an email if you want to send us nice comments.
Yeah, maryandandygeekout@gmail.com.
We should probably find a shorter one.
It was the one that I was like, no, 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 no. Like, that was the one that seemed to best roll off the tongue for me. Anyway, we're still thinking about what we're going to do for our in-between Teen Titans break episode. So we'll find out about that.
If you have suggestions, we would be very excited because we have not gotten any fan interaction of any kind.
None yet, except from our friends, and that's okay.
All right. My mom thinks I'm cool.
My mom thinks I'm cool.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.